And I hid her under.
Bless them, Lord.
On the far side of the sky. The first thing that I'm gonna do is spread my wings and fly.
Bless them, Lord.
I'm gonna land beside a lion and run my fingers through his mane. Or I might find out what it's like to ride a drop of rain. Yeah, when I get where I'm going, there'll be only happy tears.
Yep.
I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years.
Yes.
And I'll leave my heart wide open.
Amen.
I will love and have no fear.
All right. Amen.
Yeah, when I get where I'm going, don't cry for me down here. I'll watch you step to step.
Bless.
And I'll tell him how I missed him every minute since he left. Then I'll hug his neck, yeah, when I get where I'm going.
Bless him, Lord.
There'll be only happy tears.
Yep.
I will shed the sins and struggles I have carried all these years.
Yeah.
And I'll leave my heart wide open.
Ever.
I will love and have no fear.
Amen.
Yeah, when I get where I'm going,
woo!
Don't cry for me down here.
Bless them, Lord.
There's so much pain and so much darkness in this world we stumble through. All these questions I can't answer,
yeah,
and so much work to do. But when I get where I'm going, and I see my Savior's face, I'll stand forever in the light of His amazing grace. Yeah, when I get where I'm going.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, when I get where I'm going.
Amen.
There'll be only happy tears.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I will love and have no fear.
Yeah,
oh, when I get to where I'm going.
Yeah,
yeah, when I get where I'm going.
Amen, Brother Ed. What a day that'll be.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I wish it was a day. I hate to say it like that, but that's about the way I feel.
Yeah,
I like get on, get over. All right. Praise the good Lord.
Thank you,
Carrie. I noticed there's a lot of struggling this morning in the singing. And most of it was technical. It wasn't nothing to do with the singers.
No.
Just technical. They've got a new thing now, artificial intelligence. And that's what we're going to, they say. And people's already started worshiping this thing.
Oh,
yeah, big deal about worshiping this artificial intelligence move they're doing. And I think they ought to get the bugs worked out before they put too much stock in it. Amen. It don't always work. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not on board yet with letting my car drive me home.
No,
I kind of like, you know, see where I'm going, what I'm doing while I'm driving. And might get where I'm going a whole lot quicker if I let that car do the driving. Amen.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the good singing. We want to make a real quick announcement. We've been asked to go over Brother Charles Fishback Church over there the Sunday after Mother's Day. Next Sunday's Mother's Day, and that'll be the Sunday after Mother's Day. I think it's May the 21st, and they've already decided that we'd like to close the doors of the church that morning, be open that night. Just want to say ahead of time, if that is what we do, we'll do our best to notify you so you won't drive over here for nothing or find out where his church is. I don't even know where it is myself. I know it's on 1297, but I've never been there. But I'm going to pick up Brother Ed. He knows where it's at. Amen. I know where Brother Ed is. I'll stop by and pick him up. Between him and me, we'll get there. Amen. But they want us to do the Sunday school. I don't know. He said be there for Sunday school and worship. We'll find out when we get there. But if you want to go, you can go. If you want to go visit somewhere, you can go visit somewhere. I wouldn't advise you just stay home. I'd go somewhere, amen. And I hate to say it, but with much regret, we can't be there and be here at the same time. I really enjoy being here. Y'all are a blessing to me, and I hope I'm a blessing to y'all. Every time I look y'all from here, y'all look pretty good to me, amen. I don't know what I look like. Brother Ed, bless his heart, he's doing his best trying to make me look like a preacher. And I don't know, we got all kind of obstacles in the way. He said this thing right here just closed me out. I don't know. But it looks like it's getting a little cloud out there, so maybe that'll help a little bit with the recording. Amen. We've started our Sunday night services last Sunday night. We ordained Brother Patrick Cherry, Brother Danny Tibbs as our two new deacons. I'm so happy to have them not only as our deacons, but fellow laborers in the work. I know this is a little church, but even a little church has a lot of work.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, he works hard. And I so appreciate him and these young men. They'll be a big help.
Yes, sir.
Me and Brother Ed, we've been at this thing pretty hard. There was several times wasn't nobody here but me and Brother Ed.
Yeah.
But we kept the doors open. We tried to act like there was 100 people here. Yeah, this COVID thing really rocked a lot of churches, caused a lot of problems. And we probably ain't out of it yet. I know this week that the WHO, the World Health Organization, whatever, they said COVID no longer exists. But, you know, there's others that have a different opinion. I don't know. I'm like, yo, I went through something this week. Brother Patrick said he had some kind of sinus thing. Well, I did too. I couldn't hardly talk Wednesday night. And boy, that was good though. We taught Ephesians chapter 1 Wednesday night, and it was good. I'll give anything, I had my voice. But we suffered through it, struggled through it, whatever you want to call it. But I'm really enjoying teaching out of the book of Ephesians. And we'll probably say a little bit something about the book of Ephesians. Well, I guess it'll be tonight. Amen. Genesis chapter number 3. We can take our text from anywhere. This is a subject matter that you may not be aware of, but you need to be, amen. But in Genesis chapter number 3, we'll start our reading at verse number 8, and we'll stop at verse number 10. I'm just drawing a message from these verses here. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 8, we'll read down to verse number 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. We're just reading those three verses. We're preaching on loneliness, and according to what I've heard this week, it's the greatest epidemic of our day.
Yes.
People are succumbing to this word loneliness, and I'm going to try my best to preach a message that might help us a little bit with this matter. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand for the Word of God, Lord, here in this church today. Lord, we're thankful, Father, for these people, Lord, that have come out for the Word of God. Lord, we're thankful, Father, to have a Bible, Lord, to be able to read, and Lord, to give the most earnest heed to it, lest at any time we let it slip. And I pray, dear Father, right now you'd forgive me my sins. I pray, dear Father, you'd remember my frame. I'm just dust and ashes, Lord. Peter well said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. Lord, I'm praying for your anointing this morning. I'm praying for the ability which God gives. The Lord, we might be able, Lord, to set a table, Lord, this morning. The Lord might benefit from supping with you and you with us. And we need your blessings, and we ask for them. And we ask for them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. The epidemic of loneliness. God had already said that it's not good that man should be alone in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. And we only got one point in this message. We were actually going to preach several, but it's too big of a message to condense down any more than what we've condensed it down to. But when God said it wasn't good for a man to be alone, God also said, I will make him a help meet for him in verse 22. And God made a woman for that man so he wouldn't be lonely. Amen. And the concept of the family is mentioned down in verse number 24. Says, therefore shall a man, that's singular, leave his father and mother. There's a family unit right there. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There's two family units mentioned right there in verse number 24 of Genesis chapter 2. And the family's one of the greatest helps with loneliness. And the better the family, the better the cure for loneliness. They will call one another.
Yes.
They will send cards one to another.
Right.
And they will care one for another. And I'll tell you what, one of the best cures for loneliness is to have a good family. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, as we was teaching, it got to where I wanted to get. People started come on, Eddie.
Comment.
Thank you, Carolyn. Commenting upon the subject matter. And Carolyn gave some good compliments. I'm glad she mentioned that word. Last Sunday I was trying to think of the word Calvinism. I couldn't get it out for nothing. But Calvinism believes that only certain people are going to be saved. That word, whosoever, takes care of that problem.
Hey.
I mean, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall drink of this water shall never thirst again. God put us all in one category, and that's the whosoever category. But Calvin's talking about back, years back. Brother Ed kind of started the conversation. And he's talking about how, we used to sit down at the table as a family and enjoy one another's company. And would to God we could get back to that. What I'm trying to say is, I don't know how it is in your house, but I've noticed in my house that we don't sit down at the table face like we used to. Look one another in the face and talk about the things, that are pertinent or important to us. We kind of dodge that fellowship. We're preaching tonight on fellowship, but there needs to be fellowship in the family. The children, they'll get their plate, they'll go to their room. I got up this morning. Miranda, I got up this morning. I was going to go into the family room, do a little study, a little praying in there. And I went in there, there's girls all over the couches. I thought, well, must have had some kind of a meeting here last night. I wasn't aware of it. So we got a three-bedroom house. I thought I'll go to that guest bedroom. I'll go in there and pray. And I'll just study out there, by my desk out there. And the door was locked on that guest bedroom. Door was locked. And I just come to the conclusion somebody's in there, amen. Because I'm in there a lot. And anyway, when the door is locked, that means I don't need to go in. There's somebody in there. But Mama used to fix a good meal. Boy, I love good eating. I do. We have a lot of snacking over here. We have a lot of feasting over here. A lot of good fellowship over here. A lot of good meals. But everybody don't have that. But Mama, she'd take her time, boy. She'd fry that chicken just right.
Yeah.
I mean, boy, it smelled good. It looked good. And it tasted good. And she'd have gravy and biscuits and fried taters.
Amen.
I'm talking about back in the old days, you know, back when they.
Right.
Now, I know my mama made them biscuits, rolled them out, took an empty can and cut them out. I even eat them pieces in between there, but she cooked all that up. I don't care how busy you was, you come in there, slide into that table there, and enjoy a good meal. And as good as the meal was, and it was really good, the fellowship, the loneliness was also met in that meeting at the kitchen table.
Amen.
And you just have conversation, nothing like, you know, it wasn't about Democrats, Republicans, it wasn't about, money or stocks or nothing like that. It was just about how you been feeling, how's things going at school, you know, just common talk.
Yeah. Right.
But today, what we got,
man,
we go to the fast food place.
Right.
And back when we didn't get to go inside, that was all we had was a drive-thru window. But listen, if you can still go inside, let me just say this. Go inside, find your table big enough where everybody can sit right there. Get what you want ordered, and when it comes to your table or when you get it, bring the table. First thing you do is you include the Lord in your fellowship there. Ask the Lord to bless you. You know, I first got saved April 27th, 1988. Does anybody remember a place called Burger Queen?
Yeah.
Okay. Right there by the swimming pool?
Yeah.
Well, we went to Burger Queen. I mean, we just got out of church, and I mean, it was one of them. I mean, it was just rolling deep in the blessings. We was, shouting and praising God. We got up there in the car, and it didn't take 5 minutes. We was at each other's throats about where we was going to go eat at. I made a mistake of saying, where do y'all want to go eat? I should have said, we're going over here. Well, anyway, make a long story short, we ended up at Burger Queen. We got our food, and we sat down there at the table. I'll just be honest with you. My little 8-year-old boy said, because I was just getting ready to bar in on it. He said, Dad, ain't we going to turn thanks on it?
Yeah.
I appreciate that little boy. That's the one that got me in church.
Amen.
That's one brought my attention that we need to pray before we, you know, partake of our food. I said, yes, son, let's do that.
Amen.
I didn't know how to pray. I still don't. But we just bowed our head, Lord, thank you for this food. We ask your blessings on it in Jesus' name. And we rose our head, and there's people in Burger Queen weeping. And an elderly couple come over and gave us a hug and said, y'all gave us such a blessing. To see a family sit down together, pray together, they said it's such a blessing. And you know, that's something that should be in the normal. That's something that we should do more of. Don't forget to turn thanks, but don't forget that moment. Oh, I hate to throw that in there, but it just come up in my mind.
That's right.
May 30th, 1995, I was at my mother's house eating supper with her. Well, actually dinner with her, not supper. Mama, she fixed a good meal, boy. And I just got through eating something like, you know, maybe fried chicken, pinto beans, cornbread, and no telling what else. I'm telling you, Mama, she cooked. I done laid down there, take me a little Baptist nap, and the phone rang. Well, before the phone rang, let me tell this like it really is. Well, me and Mama was sitting there at the table. My youngest daughter, our youngest daughter, just showed up out of the blue. And she sat down there, and as a father, you know, I was kind of picking on her a little bit, Miranda. She was talking about her boyfriend. I was giving him down the road, and she was getting a little bit irritated by me giving her down the road, calling him worm and everything else. I mean, dads do pick fun. But she said, Dad, I really do care about this boy. I said, honey, if you love him, I'll love him for your sake. We'll work something out. But, she showed up unexpectedly that day, and I ate dinner with my daughter that day. Bonnie, and I didn't even know that was the last time I'm ever going to see her alive. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is, when you sit down at the table, and when you look into one another's eyes, you never know when that's the last time that you're going to see that person. Unknown to me, but known to God, he was going to bring her home that day.
That's right.
And I'll be the first to say it's probably the best time we ever spent together.
Yeah.
I so enjoyed that moment, Brother Ed. And, you know, she just showed up unexpectedly. And we enjoyed that meal, sat down at that table together. She got ready to leave. Of course, you know, our little girls, our daddy got any money, and I gave her some money. She said, "Daddy, that's too much." I pulled up to me and gave her a big hug and a kiss. I said, "You get on out of here, honey. Daddy loves you." And I did love her. And she went home to spend some time with her mother. Now, my wife was at the house. I always spent Sunday with Mom because Dad left Mom. I was trying to encourage Mom. And out there at the house, out there, the daughter drove out there, spent some time with her mother. She was going to come into town and see one of her friends. And she didn't make it into town. And while I was laying down on the couch taking me a nap, the phone rung and Mom answered the phone. Then Mama woke me up and she said, "It's for you." And it was a phone call from the TJ Community Hospital. My daughter had a bad car wreck. She was in the hospital and she didn't make it. I in the waiting room. For once in my life, I couldn't get a word out. All I could do was cry. And my pastor, he was there before I even got there. My wife's pastor. And listen real good to what I just said right there. You see, a house divided, it can't stand.
Right, that's right.
And my wife, to my fault, I took her up there just to visit. She liked it and stayed. And that wasn't a good move on my part. And I think really that this accident may have actually had a part in that. I don't know. We do see through a glass darkly. We don't see it all. We don't know it all. One day we will, like Brother Jerry and Sister Carolyn just saying there, when we get to where we're going, we'll understand a whole lot more than we do right now. But I do believe, you know, that may have been, you know, something that God took our daughter home to show us how important that family unit is. You know, it's not, you'll still go to heaven by going to one church, then goes to that church. They're a whole lot better when y'all go to the same church. I'll tell you that right now. But anyway, you know, my pastor showed, he was there, her pastor was there, and they said, "Brother Eddie, let's go back here and pray." And it was a time for prayer. I couldn't get a word out. Those men was praying. I just put my hands on their back and I just wept. That's all I could do. We went back in the waiting room and the doctor come in the waiting room. He looked at me and I looked at him and he said, "Are you her father?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And said, "Well," he got down on his knees and he crawled to me and he buried his face in my lap and he wept for a long time. He saw something I didn't see.
Right.
I didn't see my daughter die. Last time I seen my daughter, she was smiling. She was looking as beautiful as she never looked. Brother Ed, she looked good.
Yeah.
But the next time I saw my daughter, she was in a coffin. There wasn't nothing she could do about that. There wasn't nothing I could do about that,
no.
Brother Ronnie.
No.
God numbers our days. We don't know the number of them. But the reason I'm mentioning that is it's so... I don't know if I could have handled that if I hadn't had that moment of sitting down with her there at that table.
Yeah.
Enjoying her presence, her company. How terrible it is already, but how much more terrible it would have been, thank you, Lord. As painful as that memory is, is so needed in this message.
Really?
As painful as it was, it would have been worse if I had to say, "Oh, I could have seen her one more time." God showed tremendous favor to me and my wife. Brother Mitchell, I got to see her one more time.
Amen.
My wife got to see her one more time before he called her home. She lived 17 one week. She just had her birthday. She didn't even, I'm telling you, she didn't even get to go very far in this life at all. She used to sing. Oh, I'd love to hear her sing. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you. With all my frustrations, I need you, and I know I do. 'Cause the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is you.
Yeah.
Just 10 years old singing that song. Not having enough sense to know God's going to call it home early. We just don't know.
No,
we really don't.
Right.
Just sitting at that table, just being able to see them one more time,
right.
Just being able to talk to them one more time means so much. I'm trying to convey to you how we're leaving out something that's so important.
Yeah.
We got people today that, due to this insanity of this COVID pandemic, where they shut everything down and closed everybody up, and you couldn't communicate, you couldn't see one another, and we're still paying the price for that mistake.
Right.
And this pandemic of loneliness. Let me read something to you real quick. Surgeon General says that we have become a lonely nation due to the COVID precautions that were implemented. He said that a patient of his shared with him that he'd worked for years in the food industry with a modest salary and a humble lifestyle with plenty of friends. Then he won the lottery, and overnight his life changed. He quit his job. He moved into a large house in a gated community. Then he sadly said that winning the lottery was the worst thing that ever happened to him. Yes, he was wealthy, but alone. This once friendly man no longer knew his friends, no longer knew his neighbors, and had lost touch with his co-workers. Now he was suffering from high blood pressure and diabetes. You know, loneliness takes its toll. I got a couple more there. I will read one more of them. Walter Samsko of Carson City, Nevada, was found dead in his home after being dead for a month. Found in his home dead alone. He was 69 years old. And I'm 69 years old. And he said, with no family, no friends. They said he had $200 in the bank and over $7 million in gold in his basement. They found a distant cousin by tracing his mother's funeral to a distant cousin that lived in California. And by that, the visitor list for his mother's funeral, they were able to get in touch with her and share with her some of his wealth. He had no will, no friends, no nothing. I'm just telling you, I'm preaching about loneliness today. And God designed the family unit just so we could have fellowship. And you know, when I think of loneliness, I think about the family unit as being one of the best cures for loneliness. Amen.
Amen.
It was God that put you in that family. Your family didn't find you on a shelf at Walmart.
Probably could, though.
God put you in that family for a reason.
That's right.
We only got really one young person here this morning. I don't mean to pick on you, Taven. But God put you right where you need to be.
Yeah, that's right. Good mama. Good
don't
mama.
Ever find fault in your family.
That's right.
Be
thankful for your family. I buried all of mine. Let me tell you something. I'd give anything to sit at mama's table one more time.
Yeah.
I'd give anything for Daddy just have to whoop my hind end one more time.
Yeah.
All those things that you took for granted when they're gone,
that's right.
You miss them.
That's right. That's right.
And you probably had the old devil whisper in your ear, you'd be better off somewhere else. No, you wouldn't.
No.
I'm telling you, Dorothy said there's no place like home. And if that was a true statement, that's true. Mm-hmm. At the home, they'll put up with you. At the home, they'll make exceptions for you. They'll make excuses for you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, no place like home. And the home is the best cure for loneliness. Your mother will pull you up and brag on you. And she'll make pictures of you. And she'll say all kind of things about you, whether true or not. But she'll brag on you. She'll try to make them through, amen.
Yeah,
she'll say, boy, he works like a sled dog, and he may not, but she's proud of him, amen.
Right.
But listen, we start rebelling at an early age, wanting our way and rejecting the love of our family and wanting our independence. And after, you know, we know, after all, we know everything there is to life. And we listen to the lies of this world, still the love of our family. We live in our bedrooms. We eat in our bedrooms. We want to be left alone. I'm telling you, you don't need to be left alone.
Right.
You need fellowship. You need that, that loving tendency of the family to brag on you and say something nice about you. That being left alone, but it'll take a toll on you.
Right.
There should be no loneliness to the family. Somebody said the family that stays together.
Praise together,
stays together.
Amen.
Yeah. There should be no loneliness to a family. The family should be the source of love and the support of loneliness of any child. You know, I know the deck's stacked against our children in our schools. They teach them evolved and come from monkeys. That's why they're killing one another. But you see, if they were taught they were made in the image of God, if they were taught, you know, just the basic commandments of God, I understand they took these out, and I see the cause and effect of that, and now you've got people that don't put no value. They think twice about wasting a bullet on someone. They just shot 8 dead yesterday, I think, down in Texas at a shopping mall.
Right.
Won't be long, they'll be coming to your doorstep. The insanity today, I'm telling you, the absence of God today, the Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You take that fear of the Lord away, and guess what men do?
Yeah.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 18, verse 10, because sentence against an evil work is not executed swiftly, the heart of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. The problems we got today is because of the loneliness of man that doesn't want to have any fellowship with God. It wants to be left alone. I'm telling you, God comes seeking Adam. And God said, Adam, what are you? Adam said, I'm here over here.
Amen.
There's no hiding place.
That's right.
But you don't need to hide from God. He loves you.
No.
You need to run to Him and tell him the truth. Tell Him you're mad.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, Jonah said, I'd do well to be angry even unto death.
Yeah.
Cain, Jonah, all kind of examples in the Bible about men that just really made terrible mistakes. There needs to be praying parents and patient parents, caring parents, and involved parents with lonely children. They need to know they're loved. They need to know they can call or come anytime about anything. They need to know, well, it's coming to floods. We'll preach a little longer. They need to know that door is open to come in and get a hug.
Yeah, that's right.
Get a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
Get a kind word, or maybe get some help with your troubles.
That's right.
You know, the world says they care, but they sure don't act like it.
No.
And my granddaughter, sometimes she's all we got. I pull her up, give her a hug. Sarah, she needs one every now and then.
Yeah, that's right.
And I tell her, I love you, honey. I'm here for you. I try to make sure she understands that she's not lonely, that she's in a house that loves her, and we care for her. We do our best to try to help her. It's not easy to run that gauntlet from the cradle to the grave. I'll just tell you right now, there's all kinds of things that will come against you. But the worst of them all is that lying devil. He'll come and lie to you. He'll tell you, Tatum, he'll tell you your mother and father don't care about you. That's when you need to give him a hug.
That's right.
Say, when's the last time I told you I loved you? Give him one. Yeah, good. Bless you, Miranda. Confirm that love. She said every night.
That's right.
Confirm that love.
Yeah.
It's so important. I'm telling you, it ain't no cakewalk. I've been down there. I'll tell you, thank God for loving parents.
Yeah.
That you could call. And you know, if my parents did criticize me, they criticized me in love. They told me the truth. Sometimes the truth ain't no fun. But they told me it in love.
Yeah.
And I think about this loneliness and the family, the importance of the family in loneliness. I was thinking this morning about Brother Bob Malkin. That's that sage Jew up there in Ohio, Brother Bob.
Yeah.
Old Shouting Bob.
Yes.
He calls me all the time. He says, "Eddie, you got time?" And I said, "Sure." And an hour and a half later, I still got time. I mean, I like good fellowship. We're going to be preaching tonight on fellowship. And listen, good fellowship. You just got so much time to spend.
Yeah, right.
You can spend it on whatever you want. But I'll tell you what, when you spend it on good fellowship, there's some great reward.
Amen.
Amen. And the psalmist said, "I'll put no wicked thing before my eyes." Just keep that in mind when it comes to fellowship. Fellowship of that which is good. Oh, Bob, you call me up. We preach and we talking about scriptures and putting the Bible's kind of like a big puzzle. We're putting pieces together and stuff, you know, showing where something's pointing towards something or, you know, a greater understanding about something. Brother Bob, he got saved. He's an Orthodox Jew. As soon as he got saved, Sister Carolyn, his father called him and said, "We just had a funeral for you. You're no longer our son." And they wasn't playing.
No,
they took him out of the wheel. His father's a multi-millionaire. They took him out of the wheel, Brother Ronnie. His mother said, we don't know you no more. You're not our son." He's got a younger brother, and they put his younger brother down as inheriting everything. They're way up in years. They put their younger brother down as the heir and all that they owe. And they just called Brother Bob and ribbed him and run him down and all kind of things like that. Brother Bob, he just loves and prays for them. I pray they'll get under such Holy Ghost conviction that they'll be like a woman in pain with child. That the travails of hell come down upon them.
Yeah.
That they'll call old Brother Bob and say, "What do we need to do to get saved?
Yeah.
We've had enough."
Yeah.
Amen. I like for old Brother Bob's mom and dad to get saved, faith. Boy, that'd be some good news. That'd be a Proverbs 25:25, as cold water to a thirsty soul.
Yeah, right.
So it's good news before our country. Brother Bob, he ain't gave up on them.
No.
Oh, Brother Eddie ain't neither, sir. I'm praying for him to get saved. You see, I mean, when you don't have the family unit, boy, it gets pretty lonely. And God says it's not good for that man to be alone. I can just imagine what goes through Brother Bob's mind. I'll tell you what, there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Will my mother and father forsake me? The Lord take me up." Brother Bob, he knows that verse. He quotes it all the time. You know what? If that's all you got, that's all you need. But it'd be better if he could have the love of that mother and father. It'd be better if they knew the Lord. I'm telling you, best case scenario would be for his mother and father and his younger brother to get saved and then sit down at a table and have some good fellowship. Amen. That'd be better.
Amen.
Yeah, Proverbs 27, verse 10. "When my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Brother Bob, he holds on to that verse.
Yeah.
He's not alone. I'm telling you, Jesus said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." There is a friend that's this close than a brother. There's a friend that loveth at all times. I'm telling you, buddy, when the Lord's all you got, you'll never be lonely as long as you least got the Lord. I'm worried about these that are lonely that don't have the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
They ain't going to make it. I'm telling you, the load's too heavy. Oh, my. Boy, I have another thought there come to me. I guess since it's raining outside, I'll take time to tell it. I was talking about praying for Brother Bob's mother and father. And I was reminded, as I was mentioning that, about my dad used to be lost. He's a hard case now. I tried to talk to him. He said, "Son, I'm happy for it. I don't want what you got." And I started fasting for my daddy, sir. And I started fasting and praying for him. Sharing, I lost about 40 pounds, but I got down there. I'm done by. I got serious. I told the Lord, I was serious. I just knew my dad was going to hell. I got a little bit impatient, I guess. I thought daddy should have done got saved, so I got a little impatient, Miranda. I said, "Lord, I don't want my daddy to be able to eat or sleep till he gets saved." And as soon as I said that, my dad called me on the phone. He said, "You praying for me?" I said, "Sure, Dad, you know I'm praying for you." He said, "Well, I want you to stop." And I said, "Well, why?" He said, "I can't eat and I can't sleep." I mean, Lord, let me know he had heard my prayer, amen.
Right.
I mean, my own dad said, "I can't eat and I can't sleep." I'm praying for him not be able to eat or sleep till he gets saved.
Right.
And after he said that, I said, "Dad, let me ask you something. I said, if it's the other way around, you're saved. And I was lost, going to hell. I said, would you quit praying for me? I'd never heard my, I mean, I'm probably just a little over 34 years old. I hadn't reached 35 yet. But I've never heard my dad weep ever. He was one of them, bulldogs. You just couldn't budge him. Brother Patrick, my dad threw a lamentable voice. He said, no, I wouldn't quit praying for him. Take it easy on me. I ain't ready yet. 10 years later, Faye, I got a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's my dad. He said, son, I just want to call you and tell you I just got saved. I said, okay, Daddy. On the phone. Yeah, y'all are asleep, you know. I can enjoy the moment.
That's right.
I woke up the next morning, I thought, did I dream that or did he really get saved? I called my dad. He said, yeah, I got saved. Don't know all about it. But you know what I mean? Brother Bob's mother and father, boy, that'd be good. Brother Bob get a phone call and them say, son, we just got saved. Or them call him up and say, what we need to do to get saved, we've had enough. I'm just telling this epidemic of loneliness, it don't matter how much money you got, I'm telling you, it'll take its toll on you. That man, I'm telling you, he said the worst thing ever happened to him was when he won that lottery. And let me say this, not only does a family unit need to be one of love and fellowship, but also the church family needs to be one.
That's right.
Oh, are we looking back there, sir?
No.
All right.
There's a spider.
They got a little baby spider there.
Oh, yeah. They're mentioned in the Bible. It says they're in king's palaces, even with all the maids and all the servants. I guess we'll just have to learn to live with them, amen. But, you know, the family, the church family, there'll be people come in here like Ashley, bless her heart, I love Ashley to death.
Yeah.
Come in here because her son, I think it was Carter, said, there's a church, let's go check it out.
Yeah.
They showed up over here, we've been trying to love them ever since they showed up over here. But, you know, I hope when somebody comes in this church that we do our best to love them,
that's right,
to show them that we care, to try to help them any way that we can. I'm just telling you, this epidemic of loneliness is due to neglect of the church. When somebody comes in here, I don't care what they smell like, I don't care what they look like, I'm going to tell you what they need. They need the love of God, they need someone to show them that their life matters, they need someone to show them that God loved them and died for them, and if we miss that, we missed it all, amen. Whatever we do, let's not go alone, let's go come, let's show them the love of God, and tell them we're here for them, amen. You never know what's on somebody's plate, you never know what they're going through. I'm telling you, some of them are at the point of death, and they come in here in desperation. I want them to find what they come in and seek. I want them to find the love of God. Amen. The church family needs to be like the family down here too. Needs to be mindful of the same. You know, when I see all of our empty seats, I realize they can be filled by a caring and loving church. There are lonely people out there. There are hurting people out there. There are people out there that need to know that Jesus died for them and cares about them just like He died for us and cares about us.
Right.
Let's not be guilty of neglecting the lonely. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what, Jesus didn't just die for some, He died for all.
Right.
And this side of eternity, it may not make no sense. I promise you this, on the other side of eternity, it will. On the other side of eternity, we'll see all the opportunities that God gave us and where we wasted them and didn't dig around them, didn't dumb them, didn't do anything at all with them. We just ignored them and turned our back to them. We'll see all that, amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. When we get where we're going, Brother Jerry, there'll be a few that say, thank you for taking the time to love me and taking the time to listen to me. You know there's people that pay money.
That's right.
To people just to listen.
Right.
They pay them by the hour just to listen.
Right.
They're that lonely.
Right.
Man, I'm glad I got somebody that listens.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
When I get down and pray, the Lord takes time. He heard Adam when Adam called out. Adam said, I'm hearing myself. I was afraid. God listened to that.
Amen.
And God helped Adam. And God helps us. I'll tell you what's pretty lonely when you're hiding from God.
Amen.
It's pretty lonely when you're hiding from your family.
Yeah, right.
It'd be a whole lot less lonely If you give your heart to the Lord,
that's right,
be a whole lot less lonely.
Amen.
If you get back acquainted with your family,
yeah,
quit complaining. Stop forgiving.
Right.
Pull them up, give them a big hug. Brag on them. They're not going to be perfect.
That's right.
Just got to love them in spite of them,
right,
amen. I'll tell you, there's an epidemic of loneliness out there, and God help us do something about it. Father, thank you for the thought. Lord, this morning, if it didn't do nobody else no good, Lord, it did me. Thank you, Lord, for the times, Lord, that you've been in my life in a mighty way. And help me, Lord, through the deep valleys. And help me, Lord, to climb the hills, Lord. Help me, Lord, to find the green pasture. Thank you, Lord, for being the good shepherd that you are, Lord, that loves your sheep. Lord, I don't know how this message went to others. I know how it went to me, Lord. It was much needed. And I pray you'll help us, Lord. Help us to be helpful to those that are lonely. Help us, Lord, take the time to call them. Take the time, Lord, to visit them, invite them. Lord, that your house may be filled. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be, Lord, Father, a loving church, Lord, a helping church. Help us to help people, Lord, I pray. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, everybody stand. Get Brother Jerry. Get us an invitational song, maybe Sharon Hippie Mayer. Well, you probably thought about somebody.